Alright, time for another DoNotGuide.com video presentation. Lawrence Anton. So anyway, somebody left a link to this video where he's doing some rag on effulism and, you know, defining it for us. Yeah, just, I only watched half of it, but so far, it's a big snoozer. You know, just jargon, just never really get to the point. And, you know, all in some sort of context where they want to portray the philosophy as too aggressive. You know, and like somehow it's somehow obviously too aggressive. Like, for example, you know, you could say the vegan philosophy is basically saying that, you know, you're running concentration camps. I mean, we had a whole World War II over this kind of stuff. You know, that you don't let bad people do these kind of things. You could argue that, you know, having a kid is just, you know, giving birth to a slave. You're just going to first enslave them to the natural rules, the facts of life on Earth, plus the facts of some silly family traditions and bullshit that you're going to be imposing. And it's just slavery. We had a civil war to stop that. So, again, it's this idiotic notion that somehow they prefer it that way now. But the cause is worth it. So, again, if, you know, it's a real challenge for somebody who is vegan, you know, and actually believes that they're, you're living among a bunch of moral criminals, ethical criminals. Criminals. Let's just say criminals, and then we don't have to worry about ethical or moral. Yeah, it's, I wish they could do that. And that you definitely have a duty to do something. And so what lines are you going to draw, you know, in terms of your rescue mission? I mean, is it really, are you really going to make the argument that you can only go on a rescue mission and under these tiny little narrow conditions and then it's legitimate? So, you know, it's not that simple a question about whether our civilization has any merit at all and whether we have a real obligation to rescue victims. And that, you know, realistically, you know, 50 million people died in World War II. To save, you know, a couple million, you know, not exactly well-apportioned miseries and harms and all of that stuff. But is the cause worth it or not? So, you know, this guy basically is arguing that he wouldn't do anything because everything can be considered an act of aggression. And my simple counter-argument is that, you know, once you've defined the procreators as imposers, you have a right to impose on imposers, okay? You have a right to stop rapists, and you have a right to stop slave owners, and you have a right to, you know, fight against these things. Do you want to fight? No. I mean, is there any, there's anything about the philosophy that says, yeah, we would prefer to have a war over it? No, we'd like a nice negotiated solution. And that's the irony of this conversation, frankly. I mean, the fact is that the pessimistic view is winning worldwide, okay? Most cultures, outside of pollution by third world shit, are doing just fine in figuring out that there's better things to do than kid farming. They found something to entertain themselves, and they're no longer completely dependent on kid farming, okay, as the big entertainment. So, it's just an absolute fact that, you know, as long as those ratios of children born who decide, I don't really want to be a papa or a mama, then we're going extinct. So, you know, if those cultures could dominate. And so the only real problem is third world shit. And that's just the fact. If they, if we could stop the third world shit from, you know, infesting the civilized world, then we could solve the problem. So they would rather we become the third world. Would they rather we destroy all civilization, okay, to preserve the dignity of ignorant squalor? Yeah, something like that. So it's just so fucking stupid. So anyway, this I'll play. I'll jump through some of the first half of this crap, and it's just that. It's just crap. I really have to find where he actually has a little bit of written crap, but it's just crap. All right, so let's just understand the term, the word effelism. I invented, right? So if you're going to talk about the definition, you should talk about the person who created the word. Now, lots of people were effelist in history. Lots of people had contempt for the whole structure of nature. They looked at it and saw the tooth and, red with tooth and claw kind of thing, that it's a bloodbath. And all for the naught of, you become semi-functional and it's time to annihilate you. So yes, it's all for nothing. This, becoming functional and aware and educated and wise. Nature hates wisdom in a way. So I just play some of this video, and but I mean, look, I invented the word, right, effelism, merely to say it's not antinatalism. So antinatalism included all this wooey shit about people who hated civilization, right? People wrote whole books about, oh yeah, it's civilization. They're just anti-civilizationists. They like nature. They think nature's just fine. So hardly somebody I would consider on my side, okay? They just want to get rid of humans. Just getting rid of humans isn't going to solve anything on this planet. It's not going to solve the suffering problem, and the imposition problem. Any substance of the problem isn't going to be solved. The human condition is a tiny percentage of the condition of sentience on planet Earth. And so that's not a solution. And then the rest are, they all have agenda that is completely opposed to each other. So it's like having an ally that you'll eventually have to go to war with. It just doesn't make much sense to give guns to Osama bin Laden. Okay? It's no point in having an ally who is against everything you believe in. So that's why I made the distinction that I'm not an ambiguous or erroneously defined antinatalist. I have a very specific understanding of the root problem, which is evolution itself. This is just chemistry run amok. Lots of ways you can describe, meat grinder, just to propagate a DNA molecule, because a DNA molecule is trying to take territory, and that's all this is about, and it's not a good enough reason to torture things. Propagating DNA molecules just isn't worth it. All right. There's no, we're not fixing some sickness the universe has. So we're non-essential nonsense, and we're very expensive non-essential nonsense, and that's the whole point. And the expense is child murder, frankly. So if you're an effelist, you're trying to prevent children from being raped, essentially molested and killed because that's what parents are doing to their kids. They're enslaving them to bullshit and then killing them. And you're saying, oh yeah, I'd like to stop that. Yeah, that's the ambition. All right, so fuck this, but these people are just so full of shit. So anyway, play the beginning.
Effelism. You might have heard of it before, but you might.
This asshole, like half his videos have the word in them somewhere. So he's pretending he's making a video where we've never heard of the word. I mean, oh, look, the whole icon thing, the whole clickbait bullshit. I mean, this is all just for the show. No, there's no go here. There's no give a damn about the truth. It's just, these are people just want to be YouTube celebrities.
Might not really understand what it is. It's a topic steeped in controversy. The idea.
Is it? I don't, like, compared to what? The whole world is covered in controversy. You don't think the whole world is in, radical controversy? It's never been more controversial in the sense that it's, all kinds of black and white subjects out there. So, yes, it's no big surprise that this is a challenge to the traditional religious fables of life. Yes, that's right. But it went, you know, what would be the point of talking about something that wasn't controversial? So you'd almost argue that if it wasn't controversial, then we'd already be fixing it. So even that's redundant mush.
The implications and the associated people have fueled debates and infighting. In this video, I'm going to be...
So whatever that is, I don't have any infighting, frankly. I've never had any infighting with myself. So, you know, it's always been pretty clear to me.
As a sentient being. In the early period of the universe, it was ultimately benign. And in...
Okay, so, You could argue that it's benign, except that it had this cancer cell that was going to grow. You know, so yes, it's benign in its function, current function, but it had this nasty potential to get out of control and start making feeling things. Let's jump ahead a little.
So that the fittest can go on to reproduce.
Right, so this is some of the simple arguments that are fine. Throw those in there. I'd say that's essential to understanding being an anti-life person, is understanding that life is a biological function, okay? It's physics, chemistry, then biology. And, you know, that's the essence of it. And it's just not sufficiently functional enough as a manifestation of the evolution of chemistry. It's a dysfunctional hunk of chemistry in the sense that it wastes more suffering than it produces something of value, some kind of bliss or something. Way too little of that, way too much of the other. Way too expensive. It's just that simple. And the currency is suffering.
To all sorts of things that lead to a basic dynamic of never-ending desire. A few examples being sex, food, people, attention.
Right, so we're talking about crap. He's talking crap about crap. So he actually does, you know, things I've invented, and he, you know, but there's no reference to any of this conversation about this word and its definition and me, which seems petty, incredibly petty. So yes, the crap acronym, you know, consumption, reproduction, parasitism, addiction, parasitism. And, so, you know, the addiction part is that we're constantly struggling for our satisfaction, to stay out of trouble. And so we're bobbing in the quicksand, and we have to keep struggling to maintain our condition. And you can take that metaphor to all kinds of aspects of our civilization, even in the sense that people have to pay this huge price of going to work, you know, and being enslaved, and you know, and that's when you're getting pushed under the quicksand and you have to gasp and gasp, and then you get to have your, you know, a little bit of free time here and there, and, you know, a little bit of pleasure or whatever it is, complete relief, let's just say, from burden. But most of life is, licking your wounds, so to speak. Oh, that's annoying as fuck. Oh, shit. One. Oh, fucking pathetic nonsense. you can't just ask for donations or something, you know. You have to put tacky commercials into your serious philosophy conversations. Pathetic, frankly. Continuing.
Force, which is close to what I believe ethylism to be, but for reasons that we'll get onto later, I find kind of incoherent. So
he finds it incoherent if you're an ethylist and say, okay, life is suck, it's garbage, and but you can only get rid of it through negotiation. You can only negotiate with Hitler, you can't kill Hitler, that kind of argument. And that's fine, you know. I mean, it's, in my opinion, okay, it's you're probably being unrealistic to think that you can come up with a perfect, graceful exit. And that's all this is sort of about, right? There's this idea that, you know, you're going to do this mercy killing thing, and you're the only hope. So there's somebody in this bad condition, and it's basically your, you know, the decider. And the fact is, though, the decision isn't going to be, you know, you're not going to be allowed to, at any one second, pull the plug. You know, oh, let's get the last little good thought he has, and then we'll pull the plug. The idea is that the plug is just going to show up in maybe this form or this form or this form. And the fact is, it might never show up again. You might never have a chance to hit the switch. And so if the switch shows up, you're going to say, okay, I can give up this 45 seconds that he's going to live longer. How much are you willing to sacrifice? And that's all it's really, you know. The fact is the end is so much better than the horrible outcome that would exist. And it's back to a Yodiism. You know, there's do and do not do. There is no try. So, yeah, you might want to try to do it in this perfect way. But the fact is if you're given the opportunity to get it done, you have to get it done. That's the important part. If you don't get the do done, okay, that's the big failure. Because it's all on you. You know, we're assuming you have no reason to believe there's any other hope but you. Okay, so you have to have your boots on and be ready. All right.
Exploration, so I've linked that in the description below. But in my view, if someone speaks about effortism in these terms, they just aren't talking about effortism.
So again, what is this distinction? So if they talk about in terms of, well, I can imagine that we could invent a piece of nanotechnology that would sterilize all biological life because it's all based on the same cells and all the cells have some common stuff, mitochondria, this, that, all these simple rules, and that it would be factually conceivable that you could create perfect sterilization. Now, do we need to? So the argument would be is right now we manage wildlife populations to prevent them from getting out of control and causing a lot of horrible harm. And the fact is we're doing it poorly in a lot of places like New Jersey with deers and other places because people say don't shoot deer. Well, the fact is if you don't manage the population, the outcome is so much worse. And so are we going to call the management of wildlife populations unethical? So we should let the buffalo go back to having herds that are 2 million strong? You know, we should just let them run through L.A.? What's the solution? I mean, it's just idiotic to say there's any part of this that doesn't require imposition. Your existence is an imposition. You're using energy right now, a lot of it. And if you weren't using it, some other organism could be using it. Some other thing could be using it. So you've imposed their non-existence through your own existence. So this whole conversation about how I can't possibly, like there's some kind of, the Buddhist, the whatever they're called, the Jains, not stepping on bugs and doing all this other, not breathing air, you know. It's taking things to a ludicrous extreme. So, I mean, how ludicrous is the extreme? That's the argument. How silly are you going to be? So we're living in a bloodbath right now. So all these animals incarcerated in concentration camps, tormented, tortured, medical experiments, all kinds of horrors, and then brutally killed. That's okay. Yeah, that's not unethical. Oh, okay. Yeah, what a bullshit conversation this is.
The under-effortism can, in some cases, be extended to all life, including non-sentient life. But I'm not going to cover that here.
No, I don't know why it can be. So I invented the word just to eliminate the possibility of such a ludicrous statement, okay, that somehow there's some part of the universe that we have to stop except the part that becomes sentient. So if it's benign mechanical chemistry that has no capacity to build a neuron, for example, or to evolve into one, yes, that's not included. That's not a problem.
because I don't feel it's really necessary. And if you believe that...
It's not like you have to turn everything back into hydrogen. You know, you can still have the other elements. Oh, it's too ridiculous. Let's jump ahead a little bit. That's just too ridiculous.
It contains a moral duty for humans to bring about...
So why say moral duty? Just say duty. Okay. Just say you have a rational obligation to act. Because you know what torture is, you've experienced, you know it's bad, and you need to stop it wherever it exists, because you're smart enough to know that torture in your brain is just as real as torture in another brain. And so if I'm going to use my gun to defend my home, if I'm going to use violence to stop somebody from harming me, why the fuck isn't it okay to use violence to stop them from harming my neighbor? What the fuck's the difference there, brilliant man? How the fuck do you make a rational distinction and tell me that it's okay to defend my life, quote unquote, my welfare, but it's not okay to protect something else's welfare? And that's supposed to be a rational statement that somehow it's obviously wrong? No, it's not obviously wrong for me to go on a rescue mission. Now, the technical, the pragmatic problem is that, yes, it's not constructive. Okay, so right now, I think it's morally right, okay, to break into the animal concentration camps and euthanize the poor critters that are being brutalized. I think people would have every right because they're fighting a wrong. But we know that pragmatically, they're not going to win that war. So you don't fight a war you know you're going to lose, because that puts your people in a worse condition. If you have the revolution too soon and you can't win the revolution, then all you do is harm yourself. But there's no doubt about the rightness of the cause, frankly. There's no amount of philosophical jargon anywhere that creates any contest to the legitimacy of the statement that having kids is imposing. There's no way to unravel that into some other statement than besides, yes, it's a kind of slavery.
Of a species are being produced, or at least not enough to replace the existing members who are.
Right, so we're already there, right? So the civilized world is already there. We've already won, okay? We're doing the graceful exit for the humanity part. And the only part that would have to be cleaned up in the end is, yes, you have to leave a few humans behind to create the infrastructure necessary to create your doomsday, let's get rid of it all button in a millisecond.
Any means necessary, provided that the means...
So again, any means necessary that mean that you've rescued more than you imprisoned. So again, the game is always just about this unpleasant circumstance where you're not going to, you know... The rescue mission puts the rescuers at risk. There's no free lunch here. You don't defeat Hitler for free. It costs you something. You know, nothing is free. So you're saying, okay, the only solution that's viable is a free solution. Well, there's probably not going to be a free solution. I'll hope for it. I'll wish for it. But I'm not going to be stupid enough to think, well, that's the only possible right answer. No, the right answer is if I do anything to prevent more than I cause, I won. So that's all that matters. This is about how much blood is on your shoes, all right? And if I can step this way and I'm going to have less blood on my shoes because I've rescued the people, I saved the day, you know, but it costs some. Well, yeah, but that's the only question is, did I succeed? You know, and yes, it would be better to succeed, you know, with a huge profit than a tiny profit. So yeah, you want to always try to maximize your profit. So minimize the losses. Make it as inexpensive and as harsh as possible. And there's no effortless who's not advocating for that. So again, this is just such a bullshit pigeonhole nonsense to say this emotional need to smite the human race or to smite living things. Bullshit. It's just accepting your obligations as a rescuer that it's not going to be fun. I mean, if I had to go out and cull animals, I could do it. I wouldn't like it. I might vomit. But I could do it because I could understand the necessity of it. You fuck.
All components of ethylism explicit. So for ethylism with force?
So the only thing that changes here, so this is the view they think is, he thinks is ethylism. So first it starts with this jargon, okay. The view that existence is a net negative, so life. That's why it's life spelled backwards. Yes, the existence of life is a net negative in the sense that so much more torment and torture is created, and it's torture that is imposed. Nobody volunteers to be a consciousness, and that's just a fact. There's no consent, and it doesn't matter that you can't get consent. The fact is there is no consent, and you just can't do that. That's the imposition. So the imposition, the crime, has been committed by the ignorant process that doesn't care about decency and ethics. Okay, nature doesn't care that it's breaking the rules. All right, negative, and that it would be better if no sentient life existed. So this is just better never to have been, which is a meaningless statement if you're not going to do anything about it. So yes, you can philosophically say, oh, it'd be better if life didn't exist. So let's just carry on. Yes, it'd be better, but that's it. I'm not going to make it any better. I'll make sure better never happens because I'll make silly arguments about how making better happen is evil. Yeah, that's evil. Okay. The view means that humans have a moral duty. So again, why put this morality word in here? It just makes it sound like religion. All right. And so you could just say an ethical duty, and you could just say a rational, a reasonable duty. You know, a reasonably perceivable duty. You could just say a duty to bring about sentient extinction. Yes, to prevent an unnecessarily brutal future. So the future doesn't need to exist. There's nothing we're going to accomplish that needs to happen. None of that's in the cards, and Earth should be Mars. All right, so then he does a subcategory to the number two, so that somehow this is about our duty, okay? The view that it is permissible, so again he uses morally, there's no point. It is permissible to bring about sentient extinction by any means necessary. So I don't even know what that means, right? Necessary completing the task. So again, your obligation is to reform, to fix. So your obligation that you broke less in your process of fixing, you didn't break more stuff than you fixed. You didn't spill more blood than you cleaned up. That's the word necessary. So the only obligation is for you to complete the do project, which is prevent more torture. So if you just look at it as what action produces less torture in the future, that's all you have to complete, is that task. But preferably via those that are expected to minimize harm. Yeah. So with the understanding, okay, that the cleaner the method, the maximum profit. So yes, it's better to do it clean than dirty. It could be that simple a statement. Efficient rather than inefficient in producing harm. So you just want to maximize the efficiency of your solution. Yes, of course. But the point is you have to have the solution. Missing the opportunity to create a solution is a bigger crime than you know, spilling a couple of drops of blood to prevent the ocean of blood. Just a fact, in my opinion. I mean, it's just a fact, you know. If you squandered the opportunity to dry the ocean, you know, because you were worried that, you know, you weren't going to get all of it or some other kind of bullshit, yeah, you've lost your opportunity and you've destroyed any productive hope if you're going to worry about all of this minutiae over magnitudes of order of efficiency. I mean, you're talking about a tiny percentage of your efficiency is diminished. If you consider how much is at stake, how many decades or millennia there could be in the future of sentient life suffering on Earth, even if, you know, I stuck a nail in the eye of every living thing today to prevent that, I'd probably still be running a huge profit. Just a fact. I'm not advocating for that, but I'm just saying that there's not much, that there's no imaginable bad way I could press the button that would be worse than letting the future happen the way it is slated to happen. And it would be ridiculous of me to think, oh, it's just a marginal profit. Yeah, that's a ridiculously silly thing for me to think. All right, so what is this crap? Ephelism, the view that existence is a net negative, so it keeps, you know, saying no sentient life in the universe, and humans have a moral duty to bring about sentient extinction by any means necessary. So, again, that's why bother saying any means necessary when you're qualifying it by the understanding that the any means, what do you mean by any means? Let's take a billion years and stick nails in everything's eye. No, let's not do that. So any means is retarded. Yeah, it's unfair is what it is. It's a silly thing to say. Because of course the means are important. The means to an end are always important. And the means can't be worse than the end you're preventing. Duh. Oh, God, these people are just so, you know, just stupid playing games with concepts and words. And that's all it is.
24/7.
Oh, fuck this. All right, I guess I should have downloaded the piece of crap. All right, back. So, Marie Holt. So this is kind of good stuff, but it's not, you know, any better than, say, you know, it's even less of a story about evolution and the biology and all the reasoning to understand how this conscious experience is just to make a machine that's just, you know, the game is just this idea of consuming to reproduce, to preserve a DNA molecule. And that in most circumstances, that means you're going to have to kill a lot of children to do this improving thing to make you a better gladiator. And so that's not the whole narrative. And so most of what she wrote is kind of poetic little, I mean, it's nice statements, but again, you can't make the argument out of a bunch of little statements saying, I hate you. You got to explain why you hate.
And I highly encourage anyone to check it out. She was a feminist and animal rights activist, an antinatalist, and more. In a speech she gave in 1982...
Clearly she was an extinctionist. So clearly. So yes, you could be an extinctionist and a Nephilist. Not a problem.
Marie said the following. Obviously, the world will come to an end sooner or later, and I, for one, have no problem with that. I do not even mind glimpsing into the mists of eternity and seeing the Earth finally purged of its human microbes, left to the wild flora and fauna, awaiting the blessed day when it is stripped of this last instance of life. And
So, why do the humans first and then the animals will somehow eventually die maybe a billion years later? I mean, that's not a solution, frankly. It's not the best solution. So obviously humans have the capacity, we have the power, we're the bus driver, we got to take responsibility for where the bus goes, blah, 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 blah.
And then in an interview later done with Jacques Maul in La Science Française, she expresses what is even more an effortless
view. I know. So what's the point of expressing the view? The point is in explaining the view. The whole point is to make the argument so you don't have to impose on anybody. You can get them to voluntarily recognize it's not a great idea to be an asshole. And that's doing effortlessism the right way.
I'm not a bad person, but if one day I had the means to blow up the whole universe and myself with it, well, that day I'd be a criminal. Edward?
Right, and if I had the capacity to do it in some, like, you know, if I had to actually endure some kind of great horror, that is, I had to, for 1,000 years, be tormented and tortured, have a nail pulled in and out of my eye, I'd have to agree to it. That's how much I'm certain. Okay, for the value of the outcome. So the amount of prevention is so great that I would endure thousands, even a million years of me personally being tortured. I would sign the contract because I know it would be for the best, period. So in a way, I would argue that's a more compelling statement in the sense that I'm a coward at heart, and I know it was such a high level of confidence that even I can't concede to my own cowardice, and I would say, okay, impose it on me, I'll have to do it. Yuck. I mean, that's how bad the circumstance is. Shithead. Anyway, so let's just play this last bit.
Von Hartmann is another example. He was a disciple of Arthur Schopenhauer. Hartmann thought that human extinction would perpetuate the misery of existence by leaving other animals and maybe even other life forms in other parts of the universe to continue.
So this other parts of the universe is just silly stuff, because if you know anything about the physics, you know you can't do anything about that. Except maybe robotically, and there's no law against it. I'm not opposed to any of that, but you don't forgo the rescue mission because there's other people to rescue, kind of thing. You know, some imaginary people on other railroad track. You can save this one. You know, that one, who knows? You have to invest in, you know, where it's pragmatic and practical.
Back to ad absurdum to negative utilitarianism. In his paper Negative Utilitarianism, Smart says this. Suppose that a ruler controls a weapon capable of instantly and painlessly destroying the human race. Consequently, the use of the weapon is bound to diminish suffering and would be the ruler's duty on negative utilitarian grounds. Would not our benevolent world exploder be truly the savior of mankind, and for that matter of the animals too? And the...
So there's nothing wrong with thought experiments, but, you know, I'm just saying you have to do the thoughting. You know, you have to think through it and say, what would I do if it's on me? I mean, if I'm the only hope, am I going to be, you know, am I going to procrastinate? I mean, yeah, I don't think so. Oh, my gosh, this, you know, this is fuck this. What does he make? $5? Shit. Shit. Yeah.
Point of antinatalism, or the non-speciesist version of antinatalism. The way I see it, though, these two ideas...
The non-speciesist version.
Huh? ...these seem to have more differences than they do similarities.
So he was talking about... what was he comparing? Oh, fuck.
Antinatalism is the view that it is morally wrong to create new sentient beings, or some people restricted to human beings. I've heard effortlessism described as antinatalism upgraded, or the logical endpoint of antinatalism.
No, a rational description of antinatalism versus irrational, mushy statements about why you would be antinatalist. The only reason we'd be antinatalist is because you know it's futile. this is a zero-sum game, and we're playing the zero-sum game at a huge deficit. So there's nothing to sacrifice by giving up on the hopeless task of, you know, it's like having a slot machine that can never give you any money back. Yeah, well, you don't play, so you break it. Anyway.
Or the non-speciesist version of antinatalism. The way I see it, though...
Right. So again, this whole idea of talking about natalism in some kind of human context is so ignorant, frankly. I mean, it's like vacuously stupid to separate us from animals. We are animals. We came from nature. We're only a few thousand years separated, essentially, from being an animal. I mean... 40,000 years ago, you know, come on, there wasn't much going on in terms of human behavior that had anything to do with civilization.
These two ideas seem to have more differences than they do similarities.
Whatever. Obviously, the idea of being antinatalist for any reason, okay, and being effortless for one reason, is because you know that life is futile and functionless. And very expensive.
First, I'm going to look at their differences, and then I'm going to cover their similarities.
Very
and I want
exciting.
To make clear in this section, I'm not necessarily judging which of these views is better. I'm just simply laying out the conceptual
difference. Oh, fuck you. Like, I could give a shit what you're doing. You understand a concept somewhere? You don't understand that the word moral isn't necessary.
Differences between the two, and then the conceptual similarities. Sentientism. The first difference between effortlism and antinatalism is the scope of who is included in the views, although it is a bit complicated here. I'm a sentiocentric antinatalist, but
I don't even know why people would call themselves something queer, frankly. I'm batshit silly crazy. Sentiocentric. I mean, who came up with this crap? Oh, fuck. Why don't you do a show on that? Where did the term centriocentric bullshit come from? Who invented that shit?
I recognize that there are many antinatalists that take an anthropocentric view. And whilst I disagree with these people, and I've gone over the reasons why in other videos, I recognize that anthropocentric antinatalism is at least conceivable conceptually. Effortlism, on the other hand, can only be conceived of as a sentiocentric view. It wouldn't make sense for effortlism to be anthropocentric. I'm not even sure what...
I don't even understand how anybody could believe there's some necessity to correct it when there's no problem. So how could there ever be a problem if it isn't about a sentient organism? Because what would the fucking problem be? If it's not sentient, how could it have a fucking problem? Shit, calculators cannot have a problem. I mean, my computer cannot have any problems. Nothing, mechanical things that aren't sentient and aren't conscious cannot have problems.
What that would mean. So this is a relatively clear conceptual difference between anthropocentric antinatalism and effortlism. But what about sentiocentric antinatalism? Well, like I said, I view antinatalism as sentiocentric. So going forward in the video, when I reference antinatalism, I'm going to mean sentiocentric antinatalism.
Sentiocentric.
Natalism. And to explore the differences between that and effortlism, let's move on to the next point. Pronatalism and ethical duties. The second...
Pronatalism. Again, that's pro-slavery, so we already know that, well, that's easy to be against.
The second difference is the ethical duties attributed to us under antinatalism and effortlism. Antinatalism attributes a negative duty to individuals, the duty not to create other sentient beings.
So again, that's like saying a duty not to rape, but you don't have any duty to stop rapists. It's... doesn't make any sense. So it's such a logical flaw if you don't recognize that your experience is the same as all the other experiences, essentially the same, the component wise the same. Torture is torture, and to pretend your torture is special is just retarded, frankly. So how can the game be any other game than the enemy is the broken leg? The enemy isn't my broken leg.
Explored the boundaries of this duty in another video. Should antinatalist be
he just keeps promoting his own shit.
vegan. Again, that's linked in the description. Effelists seem to generally support this duty, but it's potentially in conflict with what Effelism prescribes.
So it's just kind of funny, right? There's just no link in the description to the person who actually coined the phrase that you're using to describe the philosophy. Hilarious.
As I've said, Effelism attributes a collective positive duty to humanity, the duty to bring about sentient extinction. If humanity's continued existence increases the likelihood of...
I mean, you could just reverse it and you could say the duty is not to be a slave owner. It's not our duty to stop you, it's your duty to stop yourself from being a criminal. So, you know, they're the ones committing the crime. It's not, you know, judging me is the silly part. You should be judging the perpetrator.
Bringing about sentient extinction, it could be argued that Effelism wouldn't support this individual negative duty not to create at least human beings.
I don't know why Effelism wouldn't be against any creation, period. It's not needed. We have enough humans to do the job now. Let's do the job and be done with it.
To stand in the way of someone else who is creating human beings. This reminds me of something I recently read in David Benatar's new book, Very Practical Ethics. In it, he examines the individual duties we may have with respect to global warming. He posits two minimal duties that are plausibly within everyone's ability to fulfill. The first is a negative duty not to stand in the way of changes that would minimize or counter global warming. The second...
a subject for which I don't think Benatar is an expert, so how does he know whether there's any practical use to trying to prevent it. It's already going to happen, and it might be a lot more pragmatic to just accept that we're going back to the Jurassic, and we'll have to live a little different. You know, the planet will be overall warmer. So what? Live with it, because you're not going to be able to stop it.
Second is a minimal positive duty to vote for proposals that would minimize or counter global warming. Perhaps similar duties could apply to individuals under Effelism with regards to the continuation of humanity if it would increase the likelihood of sentient extinction.
You can't even... What the hell you... Blah, 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 blah. This is like listening to Charlie Brown's mother. Blah, 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 blah.
Individuals might have a negative duty not to obstruct the continuation of humanity and a minimal positive duty to support actions that ensure it. But again,
I wonder how many jump cuts there are in this video. I mean, if somebody could actually count the amount of times he cut the video. So he's just reading this shit and cut, 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 cut. I mean, I can't imagine the editing process.
None of this is particularly clear. There doesn't seem to be any coherence.
It's like every sentence, frankly, is cut.
Or even exploratory framework for individual duties under Effelism. Not that I've seen, anyway. There are vaguely analogous issues in antinatalism that have been subject to scrutiny and discussion.
I mean, it's just... whatever. Fine, it's all this performance art crap, yes. The audience is so fucking dumb, that this is what you have to do. You have to speed it up and cut everything out, and because they really don't want to have a conversation about what it is to be alive. It's not a subject they're interested in.
Like in chapter 6 of David Benatar's book, Better Never to Have Been, he discusses the permissibility of limited reproduction in the context of a phased extinction. I won't go into the exploration here. The point I'm simply trying to make is that it's something that has at least been subject to examination and exploration in
So if, I'm just saying, so vegans, if they were 80% of the population was vegan, you don't think they would pass laws against eating meat or farming animals? Of course they would. Be perfectly rational. I mean, this is just such a bullshit argument.
Antinatalism. Personally, I've not seen similar exploration or examination in Effelism, where the tensions actually seem to be much more prevalent and severe. Benatar's discussion...
fuck you. What you know about Effelism. Thimble and such. And he used to call himself something like an Effelist. That's the joke here. So, it's another one of these people whose philosophy changes every 6 months, telling everybody else what the words mean. Ugh, ridiculous.
Discussion on phased extinction is within the context of a relatively immediate endpoint. In Effelism, on the other hand, the permissibility of procreation would be relatively open-ended with no...
The permissibility of procreation would be relatively open-ended in Effelism somewhere. Why would it be open-ended? I don't understand. I would propose that the cleanest choice is to pay the third world to stop making too many babies. So give them lots of perks and incentives. You know, make it contingent. You want the UN food? Well, this is the price you got to pay for the UN food. You have to breed responsibility. You know, you have to wear a condom now and then, or, you know, whatever. Pull out or something.
No meaningfully identifiable endpoint, as sentient extinction is much harder to achieve and verify than human extinction.
Wow, whatever. Verify. Yeah. Hilarious terminology. The biosphere is a delicate thing, as we're proving, because we're fucking with it already. So there's lots of ways you can fuck with the biosphere. And so there was whole points, you know, where there's mass extinctions on Earth, all that kind of stuff. And all you have to do is have one of those that's a little more dramatic, right? And that's the end of the game. But whatever. Another fucking commercial. This insufferable shit. God. Yuck. Yuck. Well, at least that's the best image of him so far.
The next difference is that extinctionism is inherent in ethylism. In fact, ethylism is a species of extinctionism rather than being a type of antinatalism. It's a sentiocentric form of extinctionism.
Oh, she's sentiocentric. Anyway, obviously, and it's just in the context of its extinction for a particular reason, not extinction because humans suck, not, you know, it's extinction for the particular evolution, futility, pointless suffering reason.
Rooted in philosophical pessimism. For antinatalism, extinction is simply a practical consequence of the moral duty not to create sentient beings, rather than an explicit goal. Again, I've discussed it.
So again, under antinatalism, frankly, if extinction is your goal, you can get there by still nataling. You just have one kid instead of two. So again, this argument is kind of bullshit, because you can just keep playing word games. You don't have to be antinatal. One child policy in China was essentially an extinction policy, if done completely and permanently. Yeah. Duh. Two people go in, one pops out. I mean, that will get you to zero eventually.
This topic at length in another video if you want to learn more. Violence. The next difference is the potential commitment to violence.
And a commitment to it. So I wonder if he'd say that about, again, protesters who get a little bit aggressive on the street and defending animal rights. You know, what's the definition of this violence? You know, throwing blood on mink coats or something. So where are we going to draw these lines? These fucking silly lines.
Antinatalism does not contain any inherent commitment to violence. The commitment is to not creating sentient beings. And this can, by and large, be done through simple non-action.
All right. So again, the same argument could be made, you know, in the sense that, well, you're just not going to clean up the animals. So you're saying human-centric antinatalism, because there is no such thing as animal-centric antinatalism. It doesn't exist. You don't have a policy. You don't have an implementing mechanism. So it's just pointless. So the only thing you're talking about is human-centric antinatalism. Fuck that.
Ethylism, though, as I've already covered, likely commits someone to supporting at least some use of force. And that use of force can take a variety of forms, but in any real world...
Yeah, you can't stop rapists by giving them, you know, free bubblegum.
...world case, violence is going to be part of that. Other animals, and probably many humans, will not voluntarily cease procreating. For extinction to be achieved...
Animals don't voluntarily do anything. So again, it's just we're the ones with the brains driving the bus. If you're going to sit there and let the retards in the bus drive the bus, then the bus is going to crash. So it's just stupid to talk about what the animals intend. Yeah, because they can't have intention. They haven't gone to school. They're uneducated morons.
Existing lives will have to be terminated if they don't come to a natural end, or their continuation risks the wider...
All organisms will be terminated. So again, you're just hastening their termination. and the prospect that the animal had some agenda, you know, it was going to cure cancer next week, is pretty unlikely. So the fact that you've robbed the animal of some portion of its marvelous existence is just idiotic. So all you're doing is saying, I'm exchanging their horrible slow death for a nice, quick, expedient one. Oh, what a criminal I am.
Project of Extinction. This issue seems inherent in Ephelism, as the goal of sentient extinction is baked in. Now, to be clear, this does not mean that any specific Ephelist supports real-world uses of violence. Nor does...
So again, why even bring this up? Real-world uses of violence. So that's what the Americans did when they showed up in World War II, is they're just violent assholes. You know, fuck you. Pretensive asshole. Do you actually think the human race, do you think parents are guilty or not guilty? Are they slave owners? Are they molesters? I mean, they're frankly, overtly molesting their children with silly notions and fucktarded ideas. You don't think raising your kid to be a Muslim lunatic is not molestation? What's your definition, fuckhead?
Does it mean that if they support some limited uses of violence in specific instances, that they would support random individuals committing acts of violence with no clear or achievable goal? And it also...
Blah, 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 blah. Oh, you mean they're going to figure out how to shoot the enemy instead of their own wife or something? What, they're just going to randomly shoot bullets? I hate life. I'll just randomly shoot bullets. Fuck you.
It doesn't mean that Ephelists accept violence that would be gratuitous and open-ended. Theoretical outcomes.
Exactly who supports gratuitous violence? So just show me the channel I can go to that's just about, yes, I'm an Ephelist and I'm for gratuitous violence. Just puke. What a jackass. Anyway, I'll try to do a full hour. Part two. Yeah.
The final difference is each of their theoretical outcomes. What I mean by this is, if we assumed that everyone subscribed to these views, what would happen? As Ephelism carries a positive collective duty to bring about sentient extinction.
So at least they didn't say moral.
The theoretical outcome would be sentient extinction. It's pretty explicit. Antinatalism, on the other hand, carries a negative individual duty to not create sentient...
A negative individual duty. So no, it's a positive duty. But anyway, so again, this is just more nonsense about how I won't rape, but I won't stop anybody else from raping. You know, I won't molest kids, but anybody else who wants to, go ahead. Bullshit.
Beings. The theoretical outcome of this being the cessation of human reproduction and the human breeding of other animals. These result in very different worlds. One is a world devoid of sentient life, and the other is a world still containing sentient life, but just no moral agents that are...
No moral agents, so this is another silly word, right? So no smart animals, just the dumb retards. So, you know, we just let the dumb retards eat each other and fuck each other over and do all that crap, you know, the worst of it. The worst possible piece. So it's like leaving behind human beings in the worst possible conditions. So find the people living in the worst possible conditions, the worst civilization, the worst warlord kind of crappy life, the worst slavery, and preserve that, okay, and throw out all the smart stuff. Yeah, that's a real clever philosophy.
Producing sentient life. Common ground. The only similarity I could identify between antinatalism and Ephelism is the shared negative view of existence.
Is that what it is? It's not a negative view of existence for the antinatalist, who's just human-centric. Obviously, they think existence is just fine if you're furry and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Being informed by philosophical pessimism. But even that is kind of questionable. Ephelism is firmly rooted in pessimism, but antinatalism doesn't have to be. Antinatalism is often rooted in pessimism, but someone can also be an antinatalist because of the risk argument or the consent argument. Neither of these commit someone to philosophical pessimism.
They can be antinatalists because they just think there's too many people, and so they'll be un-antinatalists as soon as there's the right number of people. Or they think the wrong kind of people, there's too many of the wrong kind of people.
pessimism. None of this feels like particularly strong ground to maintain that Ethelism is the logical endpoint of antinatalism or antinatalism.
It's the smart version of antinatalism. That's right. It takes all the dumb stuff out, and all you have left is the smart part. That's what Ethelism is, the smart part of antinatalism. The part that has some sort of rational integrity. Yeah. Oh, God, I probably should do this whole thing and just get it over with. But I won't. Because that's the kind of person I am. Anyway, I just had enough for today. It's just what it is. Just whatever. These people just playing with philosophy. They're just playing with it. You know, they're not, you know. I can't detect any sincerity in their cause. It's just book writers. All right, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Oh, I just hate this planet. Oh, God. I mean, even if humans didn't suffer at all, I'd say they have to go just because they're just such assholes. All right, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.